Let's go back to where we were talking about. I want to once again put this up every single time. I don't mean to beat this up, but truth was restored in the order of its importance. We know what came first, the knowledge of God, followed by the Book of Mormon. Those are the cornerstones. We know who God is. We know His truth. We've been given His authority to act in His name. We've organized a church. And the mission of that church is now dividing and taking different paths. And last 2 weeks ago, before Easter, we talked about missionary work. And we looked at the Book of Mormon's message on how to do missionary work. It's something that I think, no matter what form your missionary work takes, if you're a full-time missionary, you still have to understand that principle, that there's an Ammon approach and an Aaron approach. And even if you're not a missionary, if you are just speaking about the church on social media, sometimes we take an Aaron approach on social media, don't we? And are you learning that Aaron approaches don't work? Ammon approaches work. Today I promised we'd take another look at that. I want to show you the Book of Mormon's dilemma. Now, I said last time we talked about missionary work that if we just printed billions of copies of the Book of Mormon and mailed them out to everyone on the planet Earth, would we have massive baptisms? The Book of Mormon is sufficient information to draw people to Christ, but it wouldn't work. It does not work to simply hand someone a Book of Mormon. So why? Why doesn't it work? What is the missing piece here? So that's what I want to do today. I need you to understand, and the two missionaries happen to not be here, but that's okay. We've got several returned missionaries who can testify that, yes, that's true, and if any of you ever decide to serve a mission, or even if we're not a full-time missionary, understanding what's broken here and why I need to understand this piece of the gospel, I think is critical. So we looked at Ammon, Aaron, Omri, and Himni and their mission to the Lamanites. Today we're going to look at Lehi's dream and then Nephi's interpretation of it. So turn with me to 1 Nephi chapter 8. We're going to do a very quick summary of Lehi's dream, but mostly let's focus on Nephi's version. So Lehi saw the symbolic version, and I'm going to draw it like this. I like to draw it like this, and you'll see why. There are five major images in Lehi's dream. Can you name them? The main image, go to 1 Nephi chapter 8, verse 10. The main image is what? A tree that is designed to make you happy. The whole purpose of the tree is this is genuine happiness. A tree whose fruit was desirable to make you happy. So we have a tree, and the tree is the love of God. And throughout the Book of Mormon, there are eight words used to describe the fruit. If you combine Lehi, Nephi, and Alma, there are eight words used to describe the fruit. Words like sweet, white, filled with joy, desirable. But notice every single time it uses one of these words, it uses a superlative. Not only was the fruit sweet, but what does it say? Most sweet. Not only was it white, but it was white to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. It will bring you exceedingly great joy. There's always a superlative. And the testimony of the Book of Mormon is nothing will make you happier. Let me say it. Nothing will make you happier than the love of God. Wrapped in His arms of safety is sweet above all that is sweet. However, there is an imitation. There is a fake. In this world of opposition, where we have to have opposition in all things, there is an imitation tree. And that is the building. The building represents all the things that we think will make us happy instead of the love of God. Now, to help us avoid the building, what does the Lord do? I will send a rod. If you hold on to the rod, you make it to the tree. If you let go of the rod and are fooled by the building, you fall into the river. And the river represents all the consequences of sin. And we all know, everyone in this room loves someone who's been fooled into thinking something else will make you happy besides the love of God. They've let go of the rod and they are drowning in a river. It's a tragedy to watch people fooled into thinking something else will make them happy. And then they drowned into a river. And what complicates all of this, why did I draw it like this? There's one more missing. What's missing? I got tree, building, rod, river. What's missing? Anyone? The fruit's here. There's a mist. Why would I put the mist right in the middle? Because it affects all of these. The mist hides the tree. One of the challenges of life is that there are things that hide the love of God. One very common mist in our life is pain. Pain causes people to see, or to not see the love of God. Our lives are all full of mists that hide the love of God. What does it hide over here? Didn't hide the building, right? They could see the building. They could see the people laughing at them in the building. But what does the mist hide? The lack of foundation. None of you would walk into a building that didn't have a very good... Imagine if the first two ground level stories of a large sky rise were just 2x4s, nothing else. Would you walk into that building and go up to the top? No way. So what is the mist hiding here? The lack of a foundation, that this is going to fall and you're going to crumble. That's what we call building blindness. There's lots of building blindnesses where I'm blind to the danger of a situation. Zeniff in the Book of Mormon was building blind. He wanted to live among the Lamanites so badly, he made a horrible deal with the Lamanite king. And all of us reading the Book of Mormon are saying, don't do it, it's a trap. It's so obviously a trap. But why is he blind? Why is he so blind? Because he wants it so badly. There's all sorts of building blindness. I know people who walk into a bad marriage because they want to be married so badly. They are blind to the dangers. Building blindness. River blindness is when we are blind to the consequences. We don't see the consequences. You ever seen an honest beer commercial? What would I have to include if I were really telling the truth about beer? Let me show you the consequences. Let me show you the shattered lives of the people who were fooled into thinking that that was a happiness. But no one hides that, right? That doesn't sell a lot of beer. So we have to hide the river in order to sell beer. That's river blindness. And there's a lot of things that blind us to the dangers of the river. This is the one we're going to focus on today. The mist hid the rod. Now, this is where we got a problem, because how do you get through the mist? How do you get through the mist and to the tree? You hold the rod, but the mist blinds us to the rod. You're about to see where we're going today. The mist blinds me to the very thing that gets me through the darkness. We're going to talk about that in more depth in just a minute. Amelia.
I'm just going to say that when you're talking about the building in the mist, I think it's interesting that people that have either left the church or different things like that, that they believe that we're the blind ones.
Yeah.
Because I've been told that, where it's like, well, you guys just avoid all the things about polygamy. You guys just avoid all the blacks in the priesthood. You guys just don't want to see it.
You're just turning a blind eye.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, I've heard that, especially over the last few days. Like, oh, well, you guys are just blindly following.
Yeah.
So.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a lot about that. So that's just the gist. Let me just point out one thing. Go to 1 Nephi chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. Let me point out the three purposes of the rod. And notice it's related to all of those. So number one, I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of a river. Why would you put a rod along the bank of a river? That's not a hold on to it and skip and make your way to the tree. Why would you put a rod in front of a river? It's a barrier. And what is what is one major function of the rod? It will keep you out of the river. Number one, the rod of iron will keep you out of the river. If you hold on to it, it will keep you out of the river. Number two, it will lead you to the tree, which means if it's leading me to the tree, what am I avoiding? I'm avoiding the building. If the rod leads me to the tree, the purpose of the rod is to show me that the building will not make me happy. Those who hold on to the rod are not fooled by the building. And one more, it will keep me on a straight and narrow path, which leads me to the tree. Do you see all three of those? I just love how the Book of Mormon says, we've got some problems here, and the purpose of the rod is to face all of those. So that's a very quick through Lehi's dream. What the Lord does with Nephi is brilliant. Nephi says, look, I want to see what my father saw. And the Lord doesn't come down and show him a tree or a building or a rod. Nephi does not see a tree. He doesn't see the symbolic version. Nephi is shown three historical stories. The Lord says, okay, Nephi, are you familiar with this? Do you got the gist of this? That there's a source of happiness, a way that God manifests his love. There's an imitation, there are the consequences, the blinders, and then the rod that will help you find the truth. In every story, there's going to be a tree, a building, a rod, a river, and a mist. Can you find them, Nephi? I'm going to tell you three stories. Can you find all of these? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do story number one, story number two, and story number three, and we're going to look for what is the tree. Can you find the tree in this story? Can you find how God manifested his love in that story? And then we're going to say, what's the building? Well, let's do rod first. Let's do the positives, and we'll do the negatives. Let's do, can you find the tree, and can you find the sources of help? What sources of help did God give to lead them to the source of happiness? What was the imitation happiness that fooled them, and what blinded them? We'll save the river for another day. Do you understand what the Lord did with Nephi? It's absolute brilliant. After showing Lehi the dream, he now says, let me tell you three stories and see if you can find all five of these. Now, the reason I love this is he's trying to say to all of us, if you can find the tree in each of these stories, can you find the tree in your story? Can you find the building? Can you identify what fools you into thinking it will bring you happiness in your story? Can you identify the mist in your story? That's why I love this. But the point I want to make has to do with story three and the mist. But let's see if we can go through these stories and find all five of these. Ready? Turn to chapter 11. 1 Nephi 11 is the first story Nephi gets. Now, skim over it and tell me, what is the first story? Tell me what this story is. What story does the Lord tell Nephi? 1 Nephi 11, what's the story here? This is the New Testament. This is the story of the New Testament. Mary, the crucifixion, So this is the story of the New Testament. Notice he sees Mary, a woman. Look at this woman. I looked in the city of Nazareth and there was a virgin, most beautiful and fair. Do you understand the condescension of God? I don't. The virgin was taken away, and when she came back, she's holding a child in her arms. And the angel says, that's the Son of God. That's the Son of the Eternal Father. Do you understand the tree? And Nephi says, oh my goodness, I get it. I know what the tree is. Nephi says, the tree is the love of God. See that? Knowest thou the meaning of the tree? And Nephi says, I see it. I see that the tree is the love of God. I found, what was the greatest manifestation of God's love in the New Testament? How did the world know God loved them? The birth of Christ. He sent his Son. He sent his Son. No greater manifestation of love than the birth of Christ. Now, notice what else Nephi sees after he sees Jesus going forth. I beheld the prophet who should prepare the way. Oh, there's a rod. John the Baptist was a rod that led people to the tree. And what else does he see? Verse 29, he saw. There's a rod. There's a rod that led people to Christ. He also saw the miracles. I saw him go forth, and everyone who was sick and afflicted, and he cleansed them. There's another rod. The miracles of Christ led people to him. I see the rod. I see the rod. John, the 12, the miracles, all of those pointed people to Christ. And yet they crucified him. Nephi sits and watches them crucify him. And he must be freaking out. How could you crucify him? Well, it's because they were fooled into thinking something else besides Jesus would make them happy. What do you know about the New Testament Jews and what was their building? What did the Jews think would make them happy instead of Jesus? I'll let you ponder that. That's not our point today, but I'll let you point out. What was New Testament building? And then what blinded them? What blinded the Jews? Jesus was right there in front of him. The Son of God was right in front of them, and they couldn't see him because they had blinders on. What blinders did they wear? How would you describe New Testament blindness? What blinded them? He's sitting right there in front of them, and they couldn't see because they were blind. By what? How would you describe? Charlie, how would you describe New Testament blindness? Why couldn't they see that he was the Son of God? Anyone?
Maybe they were stuck in how, like, if someone teaches you something a certain way, like, you only know how to do it a certain way unless you're taught differently.
In other words, what Messiah did they want? What were they expecting? What kind of Messiah were they expecting? A military, temporal Messiah that would free them from Rome. And what did they get? Instead of the lordly lion, they got the lowly lamb who freed them from sin. In other words, New Testament blindness is when you expect Jesus to be something other than he is. When you expect something of Christ that he doesn't necessarily want to give you. That's a blindness that even Latter-day Saints have. I know people who turn their back on Christ because he didn't answer their prayer the way they wanted him to answer it. Are you going to turn away from Christ if he doesn't do all that you want him to do? That's New Testament blindness. To reject Christ because he's not the Messiah I want him to be. He's not doing in my life what I want him to do. Are you going to walk away if he doesn't do what you expect him to do? That's New Testament blindness. That's exactly why he was crucified. Because he wasn't the Messiah they wanted. And how many people walk away today because he's not the Messiah they want? How many people walk away from his church because they say, well, if this is the church of Christ, it should be, and it's not. Some people walk away from the church because it's not what they expect the church of Jesus Christ to be. Well, guess what? That's blindness. That's New Testament blindness. Do you see what we did with that story? We found all five in the story. All right, go to chapter 12. 1 Nephi chapter 12 is the next story. 1 Nephi 12. Tell me what the next story is. If chapter 11 is the New Testament, what's chapter 12? The Book of Mormon. Chapter 12 is the story of the Book of Mormon. Nephi sees, this is Book of Mormon. Nephi sees the whole story of the Book of Mormon play out. And what's he going to see? Tell me what he's going to see. That his seed is killed by his brother's seed because they were blinded. So again, what is the tree? Go to chapter 12. What is the tree in the story of the Nephites? Tell me what is this. Look at this, verse 4. He sees a mist, a literal mist of darkness on the promised land that's shaking the earth. And then he sees the Lamb of God descending out of heaven. What was the manifestation of God's love to the Nephites? How do the Nephites and Lamanites know that God loved them? Not the birth of Christ, but the visit of Christ. He came. He didn't forget them. He came and visited them after his resurrection. They felt the nail marks in his hands. The visit of Christ is the tree. Now, long story short, let's jump to mist. What blinded the Lamanites? If the Nephites had the truth, if the rod is right there among the Nephites, why is it that the Lamanites didn't rush over to get it? What blinded the Lamanites? You know the story of the Book of Mormon. Tell me what blinded the Lamanites to not accepting that the Nephites had the rod. What is it? Their hatred. That is a powerful blinder. Hatred. Hatred blinds our eyes. Anger blinds our eyes. What blinded the Nephites? Every time the Nephites go astray, what did they have in common? What was their blinder? I'll save you the trouble. We don't need God. Look at how strong we are. Every time the Nephites fall astray, we could walk through the Book of Mormon and they always say that. We don't need God. Now, how many people are Nephite blind today? I don't need God. I can take care of myself. Or how many people are Lamanite blind and they're just angry? You want to know how many angry people we have in our world today? Anger is a blinder. You see what the Lord's doing with Nephi? Okay, we got one more story. Chapter 11 was the New Testament. Chapter 12 is the Book of Mormon. Now let's go to chapter 13. 1 Nephi 13 and 14. What's the story here? Let's start in verse 12. Go to 1 Nephi chapter 13, verse 12. Tell me who this man is. I looked and beheld a man among the Gentiles who was separated from the seed of my brethren by the many waters. And I beheld the Spirit of God that it came down and wrought upon the man, that he went forth upon the many waters, even unto the seed of my brethren who were in the land of promise. Who is that? Christopher Columbus. And then, who are these other Gentiles that came out of captivity? What do we call them? We call them pilgrims. And by verse 17, tell me what he's seeing. Tell me what he's describing here. I beheld that their mother Gentiles were gathered together upon the waters to battle against them. What's he seeing? The Revolutionary War. Now, he just set the stage. Whose story is this one? This is the United States of America. He sees our founding. Now, once he's established the setting that the colonists were really helped by God, now the real story starts. Verse 20, he says, Nephi, look, and I looked and I beheld a book that they were carrying around. What book did the American colonists carry around that could possibly be described as proceeding out of the mouth of the Jew, a record of the Jews containing the covenants of the Lord, prophecies of holy prophets, a record like the brass plates, but not as many, containing the covenants? There's only one book this could be. What book is Nephi looking at in the hands of the American colonists? The Bible. And Nephi is sitting, and now he freaks out. First of all, end of verse 24, the angel says, when the book was first given to the Gentiles, what does it contain? Look at that word. When the Bible was first written, it contained the fullness of the gospel. Look at this description. Verse 25, it went forth in purity. If you go to chapter 4, just really quickly, he continues to describe that book in chapter 14. And notice what he says. The book, when it was first written, was plain and pure and most precious and easy. The book of Revelation was easy to understand. So when the Bible was first written, it was plain and precious and pure and easy. And then the problem. Ready? Here we go. Here's the problem. Verse 26. Nephi, you see the formation of a great and abominable church. They have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts which are plain and most precious. And many covenants have they taken away. And this they have done that they might pervert the right ways of the Lord, that they might blind the eyes and harden the hearts. The Bible lost plain and precious truths. And because they've been taken away, look at the end of verse 29. Because of the many plain and precious things that have been taken out of the book, because these things have been taken away, many do stumble. And that describes our day perfectly. Many people are stumbling because of the loss of plain and precious truths. Now, if you're Nephi, aren't you freaking out a little bit? So the Lord says, don't worry, Nephi. Verse 34, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day. I will bring forth unto them much of my gospel. Don't worry, Nephi, I'm going to restore the truth. How's he going to do it? Look at verse 35. What was the Lord's plan? Nephi, I will manifest myself unto thy seed. And they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And they will come forth. These things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb of God. So the solution to the Bible losing plain and precious truths was to bring forth the Book of Mormon. Now, watch when Nephi sees the Book of Mormon come forward. These last records, he sees the Book of Mormon coming forth. These last records, which thou hast seen among the Gentiles, shall establish the truth of the first. And what is one of the main purposes of the Book of Mormon? Shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away. And the most important, plain and precious thing the Book of Mormon is going to restore is the Savior. Okay. You tell me. Ready? Here is the great aha moment. If the tree in the New Testament was the birth of Christ, if the tree in the Book of Mormon was the visit of Christ, what is the tree in our day? What is the greatest manifestation of God's love in our day? What is it? The restoration. The restoration is the message that God hasn't given up on us, that He intends to save us, that He's still listening and He's still paying attention and He still cares and He's going to save us. The restoration is the tree in our day. So if the restoration, if the coming forth of the truth is the tree, what is the rod? What is the rod that we hold on to that gives legitimacy to the whole restoration that we've talked about? The Book of Mormon. But why can't the world see that? Why can't the world see that the Book of Mormon is the tree, is the rod, is the restoration? Why can't the world see that the Book of Mormon contains the truth? Because they're blinded. What is the biggest blinder today? What is the mist of darkness of our day? What blinds everyone? You saw it in your mission. You all saw it on your missions. Why can't people see that the restoration is right in front of them? What blinds them? The lost truths. All of what they have come to believe because the Bible lost truths. The loss of plain and precious truth is what blinds everyone today. Now, do you see the Book of Mormon's problem? The Book of Mormon is the rod that will lead people to the tree, but the world is blind to the Book of Mormon because of the loss of the plain and precious truths. So the solution to all of their problems is right there in front of them, and they won't see it because they're blind. Do you see the problem? Book of Mormon has a problem, doesn't it? The Book of Mormon is the manifestation of truth. And yet the world is blind to it. So what's the solution? Do you see why we can't just print copies of the Book of Mormon and send it out? It wouldn't work, would it? What if we tripled our advertising dollars and we put advertisements all over? Would that change? Would we get all of a sudden a ton of baptisms? Because the world is blind to the Book of Mormon because of the apostasy and the lost truth. And now what they believe blinds them to the very truth that would save them. Wasn't that your main problem in the mission field? All of you who served a mission, wasn't that the main problem? Their false ideas of what truth was blinded them to not be able to see the real truth in front of them. So what's the solution? Does anyone see a solution to the Book of Mormon's problem? Put the last two stories together. What is the solution? You. You are the solution. What the world needs is a temporary rod to hold on to. They need someone to knock on their door and say, "What can we do? How can we help you?" And we win their hearts. And when they hold on to us, they hold temporarily on to the love of the missionaries. enough to take the blinders off and let the mist clear so that they could see the Book of Mormon clearly and join. Why? From last time, why do people join? It's not because of our doctrine. Why do they join? Why do they first grab the rod and give it a try? Because of you, because of the people who reach out to them. Do you see why the Book of Mormon alone will not work to save the world? They are blind to it. And until someone opens their eyes enough to see clearly, they'll never see it. Notice in the Book of Mormon who sparks everyone's testimony. Who sparked Nephi's testimony? Let's go back to chapter 11. Who sparked Nephi's testimony? His father. Let's go to Enos. Who sparked Enos's testimony? Enos is about to have a marvelous experience with God. And who sparked it? His father. How about the stripling warriors? Who do the stripling warriors say was the spark that led them to truth? How about Alma the Younger? In that moment of agony when he was struck by an angel. What turned Alma's life completely around? I remembered also to have heard my father. In almost every case, in every person I've ever met who is now holding tightly to the real rod, if I go back and say, when did it begin? Almost every case, you know when it began? Someone was the reason they saw enough to grab the rod. Someone was a temporary rod. Now, do you see those two stories put together, why we need missionaries? The Book of Mormon is not enough. The world is blind to the Book of Mormon. And until someone pulls an Ammon in their life and loves them enough to help them take the blinders off, they'll never grab the rod. Who did it for you? Who was the one that helped you grab the rod? Now, do you see why we need missionaries? And do you see why we need to be missionary-minded? My mission didn't end when I came home from my full-time mission. Those of you who are returned missionaries, if you think your mission is over, you've missed the point, haven't you? Because what the world needs is someone in their life to love them and set an example so that the blinders come off a little bit and they give the book a try. And then the real blinders can come off and they can hold on to that book and that rod until they get to the tree. Yes, the Lord did a huge thing when he produced the Book of Mormon. But if you think missionary work is just send forth the Book of Mormon, you have not studied this story. The world is blind to the solution and will remain blind until someone like you, by your example, helps them see clearly enough to give it a try. And that's why we need missionaries. That's why we need to be a missionary-minded people. Is no one's going to take the blinder off until we take their hand and win their heart. Of that I testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.